Well, the book of Daniel today, chapter number 3, I want to share a few thoughts with you. And won't hold you long this morning, but Daniel chapter number 3, if you'd like to stand, and our custom is we'll honor the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. We're going to start reading verse number 8 of Daniel 3. The Bible said, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, he shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods." Amen. "I'd rather burn than turn, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods?" I want to ask you this question today. Is it true about you? "Nor worship the golden image which I have set up." Glad I'm not worshiping anything a man set up. If a man set it up, a man can tear it down. "Now if ye be ready that at that time you hear the sound of all these instruments, if you don't fall down and worship the image that I've made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And this question where I want to preach out of this morning, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Father, we love you today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Lord, I'm a needy preacher today. I pray you'd empty me of myself. God, you set an angel of watch about my lips, and I wouldn't say anything that you didn't want said. But I pray now you'd fill me, you'd use me to be a blessing to your people. I ask and I pray that you'd let preaching be easy today. Lord, I sure am a needy preacher. Help me now to be a blessing. We'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise for it. I beg you to guard my mind today and help me. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the king, he had a question. He said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" You know, there wasn't a lot of doubt there, but there was an inquiry. He wasn't doubting if God would deliver him. He just wanted to know who that God was that was going to deliver him. And you'll notice, first of all, about who is that God. Well, I want to tell you in verse 17, you'll find that he's a God that is above. He said, 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful, or there's no hesitation to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, capital G, whom we serve, is able to deliver." Now, who is that God, the king wanted to know? I won't tell you who he is. He's a God that is above. You'll notice the word God is capital. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. And it means the mighty one. There's nobody like our God. I want to tell you, he is high. In Isaiah chapter number 40, And I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 21, Isaiah 40 and 21. He's a God that is high. He's never had to reach up. Isn't that amazing? Our God is so high, all He can do is reach down. And I'm glad He can reach down to where you are this morning. In Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 21, the old prophet says, "Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that setteth upon the circle of the earth." You know, Christopher Columbus was not the first to discover that it was round. God said it was a circle. And I could have saved them a lot of stormy nights if they had just read the Word of God. Amen. They didn't fall off the face of the earth. And let me tell you, this God of the Bible ain't going to let me and you fall off the face of the earth neither, honey. He said, "It is He that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." He said, "I'm so high, when I look down, y'all look like a bunch of little grasshoppers." He said, "That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain." Now, I'm going to tell you, if He stretched out the heaven as a curtain, He's pretty high. He's pretty tall. He just reached out and He stretched out a curtain over the heavens. And the Bible said, "And He spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." Then He says this in verse 25, "To whom then will you liken Me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes," here it is, "on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, and not one faileth." Now, who is that God? He's a God that is above. Elohim, the mighty one. He's the mighty God. Not only is He high, but in verse 25 you'll find out He's holy. "To whom then will you liken Me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" Isaiah seen Him as holy. Matter of fact, you're never going to do much in your life till you realize that God is holy. In Isaiah 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne." Here it is, high and lifted. "And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Church, can I tell you, He's still holy. Holy, holy is the Lord. Can I tell you, He is holy. Holy, holy is the Lord. Did I tell you that He's holy? Holy, holy is the Lord. Did I tell you He's holy? Holy, holy is the Lord. Can I tell you, on Sunday morning down in Bowden, Georgia, He's still holy. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And He's too good to make mistakes. There's no sin about Him, and He cannot tolerate sin. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Isaiah seen Him high and lifted. Holy, holy, holy. The angels hiss a holy. The seraphims, they took their hands and they closed their eyes. They took their hands and they held their self. They took their hands and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He's holy. He's holy." I'm glad I serve a God that's holy, has never known sin and can never sin. And I tell you something about this holy God, Brother Jeff, that I've noticed. When you get to hanging around Him, you'll go to getting holy. I like what one of those writers said. He said many times when we read in the book and we see our wickedness and we see how bad and vile and wretched that we really are, we think we're getting further, but really we're getting closer when we see Him of who He is and how holy He is and how wretched and wicked we are. Oh, He is high and He is holy. And I tell you, He deserves to be lifted in our church. This church is not about a personality. It's not about a person. It's not about a family. It's not even about a community. It's about a God that we worship Him that is holy. Holy, holy. Matter of fact, He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. The church has lost its vision and its value and its victory because of holiness. I'm glad He said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I tell you, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He's still holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Well, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And He deserves to be lifted and praised in His house. He's holy, holy. He's three times holy. Holy is the Lord. I'm glad I know who He is. He's high. He's holy. And I believe He's heated. The Bible says, who is that God? Well, let me tell you, Psalms chapter number 7 and verse number 11. Not only is He high and holy, I think He's heated. Psalms 7 and verse number 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God's not sitting there taking things lightly that's going on in our country, or that's going on in our homes, or that's going on in my life or in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, He's thrice holy, and God hates sin. He said He's angry with the wicked every day. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the wrath of God is building upon our country. Oh, how I wish we could turn back to a three times holy God. Oh, God, help America. God, help our families. God, help our community. Let me tell you, it's not going to be in the hand of a ballot wheel in November. It's not going to be because that this economy is going to pick up. This economy may pick up if our leadership will acknowledge that He's holy and He's holy and He's holy and He can still do things right. I'm glad He is a God that is holy this morning. Now, who is that God? Verse 17, capital G, He's a God that is above. Then verse 17, they said this, if it be so, our God. I'm glad not only is He above, but He is abundant. I'm glad that He's big enough to go around. One of them didn't say He's my God, but they said He is our God. I'm going to tell you today, I'm glad that our God is present. I'm glad He is present. In Psalms 139, I sure am glad I found this verse. In Psalms 139, the Bible says in verses number 1, the psalmist David said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. He said, when I sat down in the recliner, You know me. When I get up out of my recliner, you know it. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, I don't know your thoughts, but I'm going to tell you this God of this Bible that is abundant, He knows our thoughts. Thou compassest my path, my line down. And watch this. And are acquainted with all my ways. I ain't going to hide nothing from Him because He is present. Watch this. It don't do you no good to go over in the corner and do it. It don't do you no good to turn the lights out and do it. Because there's a God in heaven that's a watching what we're doing. Somebody going to shake your little Baptist heads. Amen. You may think you're fooling your wife. You may think you're fooling your husband. You may think you're fooling the preacher. But I'm telling you, there's a holy God that we're not a fooling this morning. He said, I know everything you're doing. I know your thoughts are far off. He said, you can't compass me lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word, watch this now, I love it. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. We can never talk behind His back. We can never speak of God out of His absence, honey. There's a God hears every word I say. There's a God hears every word you say, and we not taking Him by surprise. Can I tell you, He's a God that's abundant, and He is present. Hallelujah. I'm glad I serve a God today. Thank God I serve a God that is ever present with me. He said, when you lay down, I'm with you. Hey, when you're talking, I'm a listening. He said, when you are watching, I'm a watching. Thank God He's a God that's ever present. He knows our down setting and our uprising. Boy, I'm glad I got a clear conscience with God this morning. Rip my heart open and show it to the whole congregation. You say, if you got sin in your life, oh, it's way down in there. I just don't want it to boil out on me. But I'm telling you, honey, I got a clear conscience with my God and with my fellow man this morning. And when you know you've done right, you can lay your head down and pillow your head at night and trust a sovereign God that said, I'll go with you all the way. Thank God I'm glad He's with us at Liberty Baptist Church. Hallelujah. I'll never talk behind His back. Whew. Lord, I'm getting help on my own preaching. He said, there's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Boy, that lets me know I better watch what I'm saying. Some folks may talk behind your back, neighbor, but you ain't talking behind His back. He's abundant. I want to say He's present. Look what He says. Then He said this, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? I ain't found it yet. Or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? You know what I've noticed being a Christian? The best thing I can do is just mind God and keep my life as clean as I can and obey Him. Now, we going on vacation next week. And I could go down there and live like the devil. It would be my choice. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something about choice. If I go out there and get me a fifth of liquor, and I go out yonder and run in a ditch bank, get me a DUI and kill somebody or kill one of my babies, I can't blame it on because the liquor store is open. You see, I can't blame it on nobody but me. I've got an option of what I do about stuff. It ain't no sense to me putting the blame on nobody but me about how I... So this is what I've noticed, Brother Jerry. The best thing I can do, everywhere I go, God lives in me. And He convicts me when I ain't right. And down yonder in Gulf Shores, Alabama, when I'm going to get some of them good boiled shrimp, some of them fried crab claws, amen, I think I'll just drink me a sweet tea because the God that lives in me is going to convict me wherever I go. He said, where can I go without His Spirit dealing with me? Brother Gerald, He's down in the spray booth when you've done wrong. Brother Gerald, He's down there at the truck when you let the beetle dogs out. It's no place I can go from the Lord. I'm glad God goes everywhere with me. Thank God we got a God lives in us. Brother David down Southwire, He's a listening to you. He's a watching you. When you get out your car, He's with you. He said, wherever I go, I can't get away from Him. Thank God. I'm glad I can't get away from Him. Hallelujah. So I done found out, Brother Adam, for me to have peace, I just got to get right with God because I can't outrun Him. I can't hide from Him. And when I sin against Him, I can't lay down. My bed gets rocky. Ain't you glad your bed gets rocky? Amen. If you're a real child of God and the Holy Ghost lives in you and He don't convict you of your wrongdoings, you ain't one of His younguns this morning. Boy, I love having peace with God. Woo, glad I got peace with God. Glad I got protection with God. You know, the Holy Ghost disturbs us so much. And we get so tired of Him of bothering us. But what it is, He's doing us a good favor. He's keeping us from going in bad places and doing things that we ought to not do. And I'm glad He lives in me. And the psalmist David said, I've done tried everywhere to get away from Him, but I can't get away from His Spirit. Can I tell y'all something, best to be real honest with you? Some of y'all won't like this. But some of you won't like nothing I say. I wish I could just get me a dip of Copenhagen. Brother Jerry, and get up in the tree with my bow and arrow and my Bible. And Brother Brett, this spit. But you know, He's even in the tree I climb. He's in the ground blind, I said. I done tried it, Brother Randall. I'm telling you, I done tried it. I said, Lord, just a little bit won't bother. He said, Boy, I'm glad that ant lives in me. Lets me know I'm out of bounds. Lets me know I'm out of bounds. And let me tell you, it ain't none of us in here that can't get out of bounds. It's in us to get out of bounds. But you better be glad, the psalmist David said, I know where He's at. Amen. Said, I can't get away from Him. Said, He's present. Boy, I remember I'd get out of sight of Mom and Daddy. I'd done what I wanted to do. But I couldn't do it at Daddy's house. But when I got born in the family of God, now something happened to me, Sherry. Now Daddy's going with me everywhere I go. We was going to an old day of church. We was out in the country. And I'd tell him, I'd say, listen, y'all go on to church, I'm going to go to town church. Boy, I'd get dressed, and I'd ride into town, and I'd ride around with my girlfriends, amen. And do things that I'm ashamed of. I'd walk back in about 1:30. They'd say, how's church? I said, church was great. But something happened to me in 1981. That ain't never happened since. The God of glory left a high place. Left a holy place. Come and moved in my heart. And I sure am glad He's abundant. You know what I found in my Bible? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad that's in your Bible? Do you remember how you was acting before God found you and where you was before God found... Look what God's done in you and for you. Some of you here today, you've never been saved by the grace of God. You're missing the most wonderful thing in this world. And you're missing the most important thing in the next world. Because if you don't get saved by the grace of God, hell will be your home. A lot of people say, well, no, preacher, this is 2012. You need to back off that kind of preaching. Let me tell you something, honey. This kind of preaching started this church, and this kind of preaching is going to finish out in this church as long as I got anything to do with it. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And you better get born again by the grace of God, or hell will be your home.
Who is that God that shall deliver you?
He's a God above. He's a God abundant. I want to say He's present, but He's also personal. I sure am glad He's my God. Is He your God today? As Brother Adam said in Sunday school, He can be your God. Can I ask you this? What are you waiting on to be saved? Are you thinking about, well, what will somebody say? Are you thinking about, well, I can't live it. Did you know you're right? But He can live it through you in the person of the Holy Spirit. We all make mistakes. We're all failures. And let me tell you something. Jesus died for sinners. He didn't die for a selective group. For whosoever, I'm glad I'm in that this morning. Are you going to heaven? Let me tell you, He's a personal God. Not only was He their God, I'm glad He's my God, and I'm glad He's some of your God. Oh, He's a God that is abundant. Aren't you glad it's enough of Him to go around? Sometimes, as a preacher, it's not enough of me to go around. Sometimes, as a mom and daddy, it's not enough to go around. But I sure am glad that it's enough of Him to go around. You know, the Bible said in the children of Israel, when God first established that bloodline and put the blood over the doorpost, and God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. All of Egypt's firstborn died that night. But when God seen the blood, you know what He said about that lamb? He said, and if your house is too little for the lamb, go join to another house. I'm glad He didn't say, if the lamb is too little for your house, the lamb's big enough. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, He's above and He is abundant. They said, our God, He's present, He's personal, and I'm going to tell you, He's passionate. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. You ever broke a promise? As some men count slackness, but look what He said. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm glad God is above, but I'm glad He's abundant. He's present, He's personal, and He's passionate. I'm glad He's so passionate that He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Done my heart good this week. I went into Louisiana the first part of this year and ran a revival. There was two people there that was in Catholicism. They had trusted a pope to do something, and their Hail Mary beads just eat up with religion. He got saved on Tuesday. She got saved on Wednesday. They were living together. And shacking up is still wrong. It's still marriage between a man and a woman's what God said. You say, well, you can't build a church preaching against sin. Well, I can tell you this, you won't have a church unless you preach against sin. Did I tell you He's holy? They came over to the revival that I was preaching at the next town to come over there to ordain their pastor. Guess who walked in the back door? Him and her. Did you know he married them two weekends ago? Did you know they come up and signed the charter roll in that little church Thursday night that we constituted? That done my heart so good to think about a God that's so passionate, that can do things that me and you can't do. Boy, I'm glad that He loves us. And He's passionate about what He does. We ought to be passionate about what we do. You go to the ball game, get excited. You ought to be that excited about Liberty Baptist Church. Because see, we already on the winning side. We done read the back of the book. We know what the score is. Oh, it may go to looking like it's tied or we way behind sometime. But let me tell you something, honey. Who is that God that shall deliver you? Let me tell you who's going to deliver you. Let me tell you who's going to deliver me. He's a God above. He's a God abundant. Verse 17, He's a God that's able. If it be so, our God whom we serve, He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, let me tell you, we'll not serve you gods or worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He is able. He's able to save. He's able to secure the size of His hand, the strength of His hand, and the stretch of His hand. And I'm going to tell you what, this able, He's able to save, He's able to secure, He's able to supply. I wish somebody would read this right here. Hallelujah. Look in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 19. And I'm going to go someplace and show you a thought I had. Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now He's able to save, secure, and supply. Here's the thought. Look in Luke 12 and Luke 12 I want you to notice verse number 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them, not one of them is forgotten before God. Now we'll stop right there. Bill Gates, the richest man in the world. Somebody took the time to figure up how much money he had 3 years ago. The richest man in the world. And they took, they done a formula and they picked out every bird in the world. And did you know he had enough money to feed the birds 3 days? Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Verse 7. This is something for you tree huggers sitting out there. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Underline this, therefore. Are ye of more value than many sparrows? Kill the babies, save the whales. He said, we're much more value than sparrows. Our God that feeds the birds is going to feed us. He is a God that's able. Aren't you glad you can serve a God that's able? He's able to do anything. There's not a soul He can't save. There's not a prayer He can't answer. There's not a home He can't fix. Who is that God? He's a God above. He's a God that's abundant. He's a God that is able. Then verse 19, He's a God that is abrupt. I'm glad He's a protecting God. He's got His eyes on His children. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 3. He's a God that is abrupt. He said, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against the boys. And he spake command they should heat the furnace 7 times more than is wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to cast them in the burning fire furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is a God that is abrupt. He's a protecting God. He don't take things sitting down. I want you to look what Job said now, and I'm closing. Job 4. I found this verse. And it'll help you if you'll mark it and underline it and remember it. I hope it'll speak to you the way that it has spoken to me. Because He's a protecting God. And He's a paying back God. In Job chapter number 4, these men come to Job. You know he's stricken. He said in Job 4:3, "Behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." He said, "Job, you've been a blessing to people. But now it's come upon thee. And thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled." He said, "Now trouble's come to you, Job. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways?" Now here it is. "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I've seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, by the breath of His nostrils are they consumed. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay," what He said. You know something? God is abrupt. God protects His children. Somebody at your job may be trying to get at you, but let me tell you something. Just be a Christian. Nobody's never perished being innocent. Joseph was thrown in a pit and left for dead. But I think God had the last say-so. He promoted him over the whole kingdom. Just be innocent. And God will take care of you. Because you know something? You may think your enemy is prevailing over you. But they're not. Because they're not doing nothing behind God's back. If I reach out and pop you across the jaws, God sees that. And therefore, I'm no longer innocent. So I think I'll just stay innocent and let God see about me. And I advise you to stay innocent with your enemy and let God see about you. You see, who is this God? He's above. He's abundant. He's able. He's abrupt. But I sure am glad in verse 23 through 25, He's aboard. He's not scared of fire. Miss Sherry, if you come this morning, play something for me if you would. Would you just play softly for me? Watch this. He's aboard. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, look, they fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I've heard people say, "When everybody else leaves you," well, thank God there's some going there with you. I was thinking this morning, you know, a lot of times the devil tell you you're alone. There's people with you. And let me tell you, when people's going through the fire, we need to stand with them. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad somebody stood in the fire with you? Watch what happens. These three men, they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered, said to the king, "True, O king." He answered, said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I'm glad He is aboard. Some of you in your life in the last couple of weeks, you've experienced some of the most fearful times, trying times, dreaded times. But you know what? You weren't in it by yourself. You had people with you. And I'm going to tell you, you had God with you. And we do need each other. But I sure am glad every which of the other two would have walked off and one of them would have walked in there and bowed down. I sure am glad the friend of friends. I'm glad he is aboard. Is he aboard in your life? He didn't leave his young'uns. You may have had a mom and daddy's left you, but let me tell you something. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He don't say that trouble won't come. He won't say that these fiery trials that's come to try you. He said, don't think it's strange concerning them. A lot of you have been through some fiery times, but aren't you glad there's somebody aboard? Maybe this morning you want to pick you out a spot. Maybe you've here and you've never been saved. Boy, it'd be a good morning to be saved. It'd be a good morning to come trust Him. Ma'am, let me ask this. Why wouldn't you want to be saved? Sir, why wouldn't you want to be saved? Boy, it'd be a great morning to come give your life to God. Maybe you're here and you're struggling in some things in your life. You can't get away from the Lord. He's seeing everything. Maybe you need the Lord. This would be real special and close to you today. This altar's open. Whatever you need, you come.